As NASA's New Horizons space probe hurtles towards Pluto at just over 36,000 miles per hour, scheduled to make its closest approach in just under 48 hours from the time I record this, today we'll cast our eyes skyward and enjoy some songs about the sun, the moon, stars, and other heavenly bodies on the shellac stack. Not a bad arrangement of that. That's a song called Beyond the Blue Horizon. It was written by Leo Robin, Richard Whiting, and W. Frank Harling for the 1930 film Monte Carlo, probably best known in a period recording by George Olson's orchestra. We just listened to Skitch Henderson and his orchestra, a 1948 version recorded for Capitol Records, issued on Capitol 15092. I like that. Very, very interesting. Skitch Henderson, by the way, his real name was Lyle Russell Henderson, born in 1918. The nickname Skitch, supposedly given to him by Bing Crosby because he was such a talented arranger, he could resketch a song in just a matter of minutes to be in a different key or, you know, to more prominently feature the vocalist. Skitch Henderson had quite a tenure as bandleader on The Tonight Show back in the 1950s and 60s and made a string of records that are really quite nice, like that one. And that welcomes you to the Shellac Stack. My name is Brian Wright, your host for records of the 19-teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, music of the 78 RPM era. And as I hinted at the beginning of the program today, my hope had been originally to feature songs about Pluto or songs about horizons in honor of the New Horizons spacecraft, but I quickly discovered that although Pluto was discovered in 1930, right in the smack middle of the 78 RPM era, I couldn't find a single song that mentioned Pluto by name. That's not to say they aren't out there, but I just don't happen to have any on 78s. And even songs about horizons are rather rare. The only one I could turn up was what we just heard, Beyond the Blue Horizon. So that had me thinking a little bit more abstractly, or at least a little bit more into related territory, we might say. I thought for a while, well, if we were on the spacecraft heading out towards Pluto, we might have difficulty breathing, so perhaps we could play You Leave Me Breathless. But I nixed that one. And instead, we'll listen to songs today about other heavenly bodies, by which I mean the sun, the moon, the stars, and other celestial objects. I had hoped to find songs about black holes and pulsars and quasars and the like, but I couldn't find those either. So we'll have to stick to kind of the standard fare. We'll start with the moon, and the first record I've got for you, Capital 1378, was recorded by Dr. Hoffman, as he's credited on the label. He was a real doctor, Samuel Hoffman, a podiatrist, but he also played theremin and was the only thereminist in the Musicians Union out in the Los Angeles area in the 1940s when producers for the film Spellbound needed a theremin, and so he played the theremin for that film, and then made a handful of records for Capitol. We'll listen to his recording of Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata, and we'll follow that with Margaret Whiting singing a very atmospheric tune that goes back to the early 30s by Fred Allert and Edgar Leslie. It's The Moon Was Yellow and the Night Was Young. Two moon songs. First here's Dr. Hoffman.
Together, and I was wondering whether we'd meet again someday. The moon was yellow, and a song was sung. That vocal inspiration gave me the inclination to give my heart away. Here we are. Is our romance to continue? Will it be my luck to win you? May I look that far? My love is mellow, and my hopes are strung around that Cupid fellow. Behold, the moon is yellow, and the night is young. Around that Cupid fellow, behold, the moon is yellow, and the night is young.
Capitol Record number 1343. My copy of that's a nice DJ pressing in vinyl. Margaret Whiting singing The Moon Was Yellow and the Night Was Young from 1950. Before that, Dr. Hoffman, Samuel Hoffman from 1951, playing his own arrangement for theremin of Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata, Capitol 1378. If you've never seen a theremin, I'd recommend taking a moment to look it up on YouTube. You spell it T-H-E-R-E-M-I-N, and it's quite an interesting instrument invented by a man from Russia named Victor Theremin back in the 1920s, and it works, as best I understand it, by having two metal poles which extend outward from the main body of the instrument, and the poles create an electromagnetic field which is interrupted when you place your hand between them, and so you actually play this instrument by moving your hand in the space between these two poles. You play it without touching it, which may be the first and only instrument that I know of that you play that way. I'm sure there have been more developed since then, but I think the theremin was the first instrument to be played without touching it. Anyway, a couple of interesting moon songs, and I've got two more for you now. These next two actually have the exact same title, even though they're entirely different songs. First, we'll hear Reaching for the Moon by Benny Davis and Jesse Greer, played for us by Joseph Kinect, directing the Goodrich Silvertown Chord Orchestra, with Joseph White, the silver-masked tenor, singing it for us. If the band's name, Goodrich Silvertown Chord Orchestra, seems a little cumbersome, it's because in the 1920s, radio advertising hadn't really taken off yet. People thought it was in bad taste to read radio advertisements, and so a lot of stations didn't advertise overtly. Rather, programs would be sponsored, and bands on the radio would be sponsored by products that would lend their name for the program or the band. So you have programs like the Ever Ready Hour for Ever Ready Batteries, and you have bands like the Ipana Troubadours for Ipana Toothpaste, or in this case, the Goodrich Silvertown Chord Orchestra for, I guess, Goodrich Tires. After that, we'll hear Lou Gold and his orchestra, a Regal 78 from 1931. Irving Kaufman sings Irving Berlin's song, Reaching for the Moon, which is a totally different song, as you will hear. But now, two Reaching for the Moon songs as we reach for Pluto and its moons, Charon and all the rest. But for now, here's the Goodrich Silvertown Chord Orchestra. Thank you. And there you have two records issued 5 years apart, bearing the exact same title on the label, but totally different songs. The first one, Reaching for the Moon, written by Benny Davis and Jesse Greer, performed for us by the Goodrich Silvertown Chord Orchestra, directed by Joseph Kinect, issued on Victor 20016, recorded in New York City, April 6th, 1926. Joseph White, the silver-masked tenor, singing it for us. After that, from January 15th, 1931, Irving Kaufman crooning Reaching for the Moon by Irving Berlin, a Regal record number 10254. Lou Gold and his orchestra. Well, we'll leave the moon behind for a little while now and listen to a few songs just generally about space. This one was a little trickier. You know, there are plenty of moon songs out there. We could do weeks and weeks of programs doing nothing but moon songs. But finding songs about space, a little bit harder. Glenn Miller and his orchestra, though, in 1939, recorded a tune called Out of Space, which vaguely alludes to outer space. Ray Eberly sings it. It was recorded September 25th, 1939, and issued on Bluebird 10438. After that, Woody Herman and his new Third Herd on a record on the Mars label, which I gather was Woody Herman's own invention. It's called Celestial Blues, and that one was recorded in July of 1952. So, two space ones, vaguely. First, here's Glenn Miller. Thing, written by Woody Herman and performed for us by Woody Herman and his new third herd. That's Celestial Blues, recorded in New York City July 7th, 1952, and issued on the Mars label, Mars record number 300. Before that, it was Ray Eberly in 1939 singing Out of Space with Glenn Miller and his orchestra, Bluebird record number 10438. Interesting tune. Not one of the most commonly heard Glenn Miller records, but I like it. Well, from rather general songs about space, we'll focus in on the sun now. We won't look directly at it, but we will turn our attention in song to the sun. Johnny Johnson and his Statler Pennsylvanians offer us Sunbeams. First, a Victor 78, number 21677. The tune written by J.K. Brennan and Carl Hajos, sung for us by Franklin Bauer and recorded September 12, 1928. After that, it's Paul Whiteman and his orchestra playing a piece of music originally composed by Rimsky-Korsakov, but arranged here by Ferdy Grofe. From July of 1925, it's Hymn to the Sun, Victor 19862. A couple of sun songs. First, here's Johnny Johnson. Thank you. can't go wrong ending with a gong. Paul Whiteman's orchestra. And did I detect a little hint of the Song of India in the last 30 seconds? Maybe, maybe not. Victor 19862, Hymn to the Sun. Before that, Johnny Johnson and his Statler Pennsylvanians from 1928. Franklin Bauer singing Sunbeams. Well, we got time for a few more records on today's Shellac Stack, and we'll turn our attention now from the sun to other suns many, many light years away, stars. First, we'll go back to the Goodrich Silvertown Chord Orchestra. We'll hear another from them called If All the Stars Were Pretty Babies and I Was the Man in the Moon. Hey, killing two birds with one stone here. Billy Rose and Fred Fisher wrote the tune, and once again, Joseph White, the silver-masked tenor, will sing it for us, recorded February 11th, 1927 in New York. And after that, how could we not pay tribute to the sun, the moon, the stars, and not work in some rendition of Hoagy Carmichael's Stardust? We'll hear Hubert Rostang, a swing record recorded in Paris in about February of 1949, swing number 293. It's Hubert Rostang in a saxophone solo of Stardust. But now here's If All the Stars Were Pretty Babies and I Was the Man in the Moon. Thank you. When I was a kid, my first introduction to the song Stardust, I still remember, was its appearance in the radio drama The War of the Worlds with Orson Welles that he directed for the Mercury Theater on the Air back in 1938, and an announcer introduces it as that tune that never loses flavor. And I've always liked that. Hubert Rostang playing Stardust for us by Hoagy Carmichael, recorded in Paris in February of 1949. We preceded that with Joseph White, the silver-masked tenor, singing If All the Stars Were Pretty Babies and I Was the Man in the Moon, played by the B.F. Goodrich Silvertown Chord Orchestra, Victor 20491. We'll hear one more star song now. Here's Jesse Crawford, Victor 20264. This from October 2nd, 1926, recorded at the Wurlitzer Building in Chicago. It's Jesse Crawford, Stars Are the Windows of Heaven. Tommy Malley and Jimmy Steiger wrote that tune. It's called Stars Are the Windows of Heaven, performed for us on the mighty Wurlitzer Theater organ in Chicago, Illinois, by Jesse Crawford, recorded October 2nd, 1926. And with that, we approach the end of today's Stack O' Shellac here. As always, I'd like to thank you so much for taking a moment to log on, tune in, and listen to these old 78 RPM records with me. It's always a real treat for me to pull them off the shelf, clean them off, and give them a spin. Even more fun to listen to them with friends. If you'd like to send me a note, I'd love to hear from you. As always, you can email me. Send a note to shellacstack@gmail.com. That's shellacstack, all one word, @gmail.com. Or if you use your favorite web search engine, you can look for the Shellac Stack podcast website, which, hint, it's www.shellacstack.com. But you can just type in Shellac Stack and you'll find it. And at the page, you can see label scans of some of the 78s I play. Sometimes I post supplemental information and extra pictures and things. You can also see my performance schedule. I play piano sometimes, and you can find out when and where I'm playing other stuff as well. Just search for Shellac Stack Podcast, and it should come up. Well, we have time, as I said, for one more, and before we play this, I note with interest that NASA's New Horizons probe is now 36,000 miles closer to Pluto than when we started this program. That's some fast hustling out there. Maybe by the time you hear it, we'll already have flown by it. And hopefully we'll be enjoying some really nice, clean, up-close pictures and a new understanding about what makes this little dwarf planet out at the edge of our solar system tick. Not that it ticks, but who knows? Dick Robertson and his orchestra, though, to finish us off before I get too much more tongue-tied. Decca 2059. This was recorded September 1st, 1938. And though Pluto's not a star, we may argue about whether it's a planet or a dwarf planet or even something else. We'll listen to You're the Only Star in My Blue Heaven, and I'll kind of have Pluto in mind as we hear this. So now, to lead us out, here's Dick Robertson. Thanks for joining me. I hope we'll see you back here next time for more records on the Shellac Stack.
And you're shining just for me.